Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
The Red Tsunami was not to be found. It was more of a... Oh, Chad. Yeah, that was not what a lot of people thought was going to happen yesterday. There were winners and losers, no doubt about that. Ron DeSantis won big, not just in Florida. He won big nationwide. Marco Rubio won big, not just in Florida, but nationwide. MAGA? Was not a big night for MAGA. It wasn't. You know, one of the things I've talked about over and over again, and I continue to say this, is you have to expand the tent. And both parties now only cater to their loyalist of loyal bases. Both parties do. They're not interested. And that's a shame. That's a shame. On the other side of it, there were lots of losers last night. Dr. Oz lost. No doubt about that. Fetterman won. At least his wife did. You know she wanted that job more than he did. She was like, oh, this is going to be great. Because this is what I predicted. He's going to take a leave of absence to get himself well. And she's going to sit in that position until he does. And I'm here to say she may not give it back. On the other side of things, right? You look across and Arizona, you freaking did it again. You did it again. You jacked the pooch. You screwed up. It was minutes into the morning, and you guys at ground zero, my home state, at ground zero of conspiracy, of voter fraud, and all of the stuff still going on with the lady at the top of the ticket who is living off of voter fraud, and she's a results denier. I don't say election denier because everybody knows there was an election. All of those things, you played straight into it. You handed them everything. My God, how embarrassing was that? It was embarrassing. So my day looks like yesterday. I get here really early yesterday, do a bunch of stuff, do my show. I got a bunch of other things to do. On top of that, we're the station I work at locally. We're the station for all of this stuff. We have a huge news staff that is out there. We had like 10 reporters in the field throughout the day, everywhere you could go. We had, you know, 6-8 web people. We've got all of our hosts on air. I was on air till 11 o'clock. Last night, so just a few hours ago, I was on the air. I slept in my studio. But throughout the entire day, it was embarrassing to watch Maricopa. We're not even Florida anymore. We're not even Florida of the West. Florida wishes. The only thing we're missing is Arizona man. It was such a joke. And you played right into it. You did. And watching the conspiracies fly around, getting them, you know, sent to me over and over again. How embarrassing was that? My God. And I've got some calls that we took yesterday. I'm going to play. And let me tell you something. There were several people who went specifically to the ballot yesterday to prove to people that this, there's nothing to see here. And they left pissed and frustrated. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. So if you're the Republicans, you wake up today, what do you say to yourself? Do we have the Senate? We don't know. We don't. If you look at the numbers right now, as we sit, 48 Dems, 47 GOP. One solid GOP, it looks like. So that'll draw them even to 48. And then there's going to be four toss-ups. I don't know. Do they have it? Probably, maybe, kind of, sort of. Maybe, kind of, sort of. The House? The big win in the House? Isn't a big win. It isn't. So what happened? If you're dissecting today, you expected 25 seats, potentially 30. You expected to be up huge. They're still, while it's not confirmed, although they believe it to be, they're still thinking there's an outside chance the Dems hold everything. There's an outside chance. Could you imagine that? How do you dissect that the next day and go, well, what happened? Was their messaging? Was their democracy messaging big? No, you know what it was? It's the same thing that Mitch McConnell said. It was your candidates in a lot of places. It was your candidates. You put people out there and they didn't resonate. Oh, they resonated with a certain amount of the base and some people that will never vote Democrat or never vote Republican, and they'll either not voting, but you put people out there that just didn't do it for people. They spoke even amongst Republicans. You're not speaking to me. You're speaking to a group of people. I've moved on from whatever it is that they're doing. You're not even speaking to me. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. It was. So what was important yesterday?
We asked folks in the exit polling, what was the most important issue to your vote? Inflation for 32% of the electorate. This is a national look at those showing up to vote today. Interestingly, abortion, 27% of the electorate said it was the most important issue to their vote. That's sort of a closer second than we've seen in a lot of pre-election polling. Crime at 12%, gun policy at the same place, 12%, and immigration down to 10%.
Abortion that big? Well, it depends where you were, right? Because abortion was on the ballot and, you know, everybody's like, big win for abortion last night. Well, what? Two states still too close to call, semi-conservative states, and three states are uber left. So that's not a big win. But did it play a role? Yeah, it sure did. It sure did. Did the democracy's going to die play a role? It must have. It must have. But when you talk to people and their big thing is, well, inflation sucks and the economy sucks and I'm worse off than I was 2 years ago, but I'm going to stay in the same path I was. That's a win. You know what that tells me? They don't believe that the people that you've put out there are going to be able to do the things you need them or want them to do. Because you put people out there that didn't really make them feel they can be confident that this person's going to carry out the stuff that I'd like to see done.
And we asked, how does your financial situation compare to what it was 2 years ago? 46% of voters in this election across the country are telling us their financial situation is worse than 2 years ago. 35% say about the same. Only 18% say better. And gas prices specifically, as you guys know, the Biden White House has been focused on gas prices every day. Yes, 61% of voters in this election across the country tell us gas prices has been a financial hardship for them. 38% say no.
And if they hold the House and they hold the Senate, what do you think Biden's going to say? Well, you guys must want the green thing. So it's okay that you pay $5, $6, $7. Oh. It was not a win yesterday for anything but controversy and kind of the same old same. And you know what scares me? Are we at that point now where everything is just, there is no real competition anymore? That we're just, it is so frustrating watching all of this, but it's also frustrating looking over at the Republicans going, yeah, I'm voting for the party because I'm not voting for the candidate, if that's the way you're doing it. I heard so many Republicans say that. But I had a lot of Republicans over the last several days say the same thing that I've been telling you guys. There are plenty of Republicans out there that are as pissed at the party as they have ever been. And the reason is simple. You've not given me somebody I want to vote for, and I'm sick and tired of voting against the other person. You're going to have to earn my vote. You're going to have to earn it. I'm not giving it to them, but you're going to have to earn it. I'm not going to cross the aisle and vote for things that I don't believe in because I want to show you. No, you're going to have to earn it. You know who earned it? Ron DeSantis. He earned it. Look at Miami-Dade. Since 2002, when Jeb, low energy Jeb, since he was low energy, but a little bit higher energy at that time, it's the last time Republican in Miami-Dade. Rubio, both of them, not just one, they boat raced their candidates, which says a lot. It does.
Honestly, even though I'm a Republican, I think America would be a better country if we had two normal political parties run by normal people who may disagree on some things, but are not tying us down as a community.
And you know what's interesting? In other parts of the country, if he said that, he'd be booed off the stage. But you know what he didn't have to really do yesterday? Sweat it. Because he expanded the tent. A lot to get to today. Talk more about this. Wednesday, we're going to get woke. Don't you worry about that. We're going to get woke. AF, as the kids would say. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, your Instagram. Got some interesting stuff, too. Yesterday, of course, the nightmare that happened here. I actually spoke to Stephen Richards, kind of in charge of everything. And when you listen to some of the conversation, you would think to yourself, wow, did you guys do something horrible to him? Did you just give him bad news? Because he knew he had made a mistake. He knew that, and while it was not all on him, the reality is in America, we don't care. We want somebody to blame. We want somebody with responsibility because we've gotten so used to people saying, well, I'm not really responsible for it. But some of his answers, again, he knew the look. It is not a good look when stuff's not working. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. RUFFGreens.com/Chaz. Kind of bummed last night. I didn't go home. I stayed here. Normally, I get up in the morning, spend some time with Doodle, my older dog. He comes and greets me as I'm putting my shoes on, getting ready to leave. And I go and get him a snack that I'm not supposed to do. But it's whatever. He's getting older, right? You know, and he's going out in style. Shouldn't have been here anyways. But thanks to Rough Greens with vitamins, minerals, probiotics, this amazing, incredible supplement, he's been able to live a healthier, happier latter part of his life, and he's still going strong. Right now, Dr. Dennis Blacks wants you to try it for free. He's going to send you a bag. All you do is cover the cost of shipping. That's all you have to do. You have to do anything else. You love your animals like I love my animals, and I do. Rough Greens is going to do a world of good for your dogs. Try it now for free. Cover the cost of shipping. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
You stink like fear and white male privilege to me.
I do often out myself verbally as agender. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm proud to be agender.
Are you stupid?
Ruben! What? Are you kidding me?
Not a great way to use your white privilege.
Some people get it. Some people don't.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
In the state of Georgia, thanks to Brian Kemp and Raffensperger, they changed the state law so that you cannot get a provisional ballot in Georgia before 5 o'clock. So if you waited in line for 2.5 hours, got there, and they said, oh, there's some sort of mistake, you can't get a provisional ballot here. The level of voter suppression is beyond anything that we saw in 2018. So I think it's completely up in the air. There has been youth turnout at levels we haven't expected. Democrats feel confident. Republicans I've spoken to feel confident. But we can't say that whatever happens tonight is a fair and equitable election because there have been too many laws passed by election deniers to keep people from being able to express.
Georgia had a massive turnout. It was huge. Huge, huge, huge. They encountered few problems and a high turnout. Record setting. Oh, my God. How can that be? With all the racism and stuff. No, it was just nothing. Turnout was expected to exceed 3.95 million, which is pretty darn good. Third largest voter turnout in early voting history. It probably is going to be second, maybe more, you know, when all is said and done, you know, because there's still some counting to go on. There's some absentees. But at the end of the day, and wouldn't It wasn't all that. No. Settle down. But you got to scream it nowadays. Nobody pays attention. Right? Nobody. It's not even the squeaker wheel. Now the wheel has to be blown up. Your car has to be riding on rims for anybody to pay attention. You're like, nobody's even listening to the... Your car's going to be on fire, right? Your rims are on fire. There's a police chase, and people are like, oh, look at that. But outside of that, no. No. It's you got to scream and yell. Turnout was big in a lot of places. Abortion played an issue in some of them. Kentucky just shot down an anti-abortion bill. And there's a perfect example of why, of how do we keep this thing alive without, and I'm not talking about the baby. How do we keep this thing alive and at the same time have a conversation? Meaning, if you're a Democrat or Republican, the money raising is too massive over certain issues to get rid of because it's, you know, what divides us, they pocket. So how do they keep that going? Because you couldn't sit down and say, look, you know, are we good with like 15 weeks? You know, like come in line with a lot of the rest of the world? Well, yeah, okay. You know, and obviously if it's the life of the mother and things like that, I mean, we're like, but that's all normal talk. You can't have that, though, because there's no money. Because if we settled that, there is no money. So, and man, Republicans, you got to be frustrated today. But there's still hope. It's weird to say that Herschel Walker, because it looks like that's going to be a runoff. You know, you got Laxalt and a few other places. There's still hope. You could get the House, not by as much as you want, but the Senate, and all you need is one more. That's not a tsunami, but it's a win. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
I was just telling the guys off the old air there that you're voting for a color. And I'm not talking about race. You're voting red or blue. Rarely anymore are you voting for a candidate. Because the way I think people look at it now, it's against that parliamentary system. There are people within the, like, because let's be real. Let's say next month, and it does go to a runoff, and I'm pretty certain it's probably going to in, you know, for Herschel Walker and Warnock. And Walker gets through. Walker's not going in and setting the table for all the things that he wants to do. Mitch is going to be like, I'll tell you to vote for something, you vote for it. And then shake everybody's hand and bring your Heisman so we can raise some money. Okay. Like, that's kind of what's happening now. Like, Oz had a high profile. Herschel Walker does. But it's celebrities. You're going there. Somebody's going to tell you, this is what you do. This is how it goes. This is it. We'll see. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Share is your Twitter. Still looking at that, you know, two races that are interesting outside of all this. And but one that's really, I mean, what's going on in Nevada, Laxalt, that's interesting. Could they swing to the right? And the other thing is Oregon. What is going to happen up there? Are they going to get a right side of the aisle Republican? Is it possible? Right now, there's what, 15,000 votes, give or take, that separate Drazen and Kotek. Kotek in the lead, but you just don't know. I think a lot of people were expecting there was going to be some surprises. There just wasn't. And that's kind of sad, right? It's kind of sad that there wasn't, like, we don't have that, like, oh my God, there's no more, you know, Dewey, you know, beats, you know, Truman. There isn't. It's like so predictable. It's weird that way. how predictable it is. And that's one of those ones you're going, is it possible? Might it happen? Because we're talking 40 years. I was saying yesterday, I think I was 9 years old the last time a Republican governor was in charge in Oregon. I was like 9 years old. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet, text, love hearing from all of you. It is Wednesday. As you guys know, on Wednesdays, we do something. If you're new to the show, San Diego, Dallas, you guys listening, we like to get woke. Wokeness is seeping into society in ways that is just insane. You know it. I know it. It should frustrate us all because it's insane. Let's get woke.
Buckle up, everybody. It's time to talk about my pronouns.
When babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or a girl. But sometimes the doctor is wrong.
She, it. Lucy is a girl.
Are you she, they pronouns?
They, them, they. Who are they? There was two of them?
Fun thing about me is yesterday I came out as trans for my whole family.
So let's go. Rock Frog's pronouns. That sounds so cool.
Let me introduce you to our non-binary alpaca.
I am non-binary and I use they, them pronouns, and my students know this.
We just came up with new words that fit us better. It's fine.
What if I want to be called Sir Elton John?
It's time for Woke Wednesday.
Yes, woke indeed. It is here and it is real. And I'm telling you guys, it is getting out there more and more. We joke about this stuff, but it is insane. You know, I was watching Rogan had on Matt Walsh. You don't know who Matt Walsh is. He's a conservative commentator. And he was on with Rogan yesterday, actually, talking about his documentary that got a lot of hate and got a lot of love. But if you can get past the insanity of the politics and sit down and look at it, it's called What is a Woman? It's very interesting to see him go around the world. Just ask people, what's a woman? Yeah. And there were people that were trans in it. There was all kinds of, and it's very interesting to see how we approach it in this first world, in particular here in the West, in particular America, comparatively to a lot of other places. It really is. But it's insane what's going on out there. It has just become insane. And I see it because I have kids who go to school. And they're frustrated at times, you know, with what's happening, but they feel they have to play along with it. And that's the first thing you do, right? You go after them and you push it and you get them to be subservient into, you know, or else kind of scenario.
If you were one of those people that thought that there was a literal attack on the foundations of this country to try to destroy it from the youth up, what better way to do it than with social media reinforcing all this stuff? It's so strange to me how so many people on the left, people that I, before this, I generally respected their opinion, buy into it wholesale and will spout out things as if they're facts about how much this helps people and keeps people from killing themselves and helps kids. Like, but it's not true.
No, it's not. This you know, this gender wackiness is exactly that. I'm not saying there are not people out there that are transgender, but it is so bizarre because I've seen it happen to some of my friends' kids. I've seen it happen to, my stepdaughter. That was pushed and prodded and cheered on. And then when not quite sure about this kind of thing, moved away from some of those friends that were controlling. And all of a sudden it was that change. And you're like, wow, this is weird. Like, but we've been saying that. And everybody goes, oh, it's nothing. But think about this. I want you to listen to this. This is on this Woke Wednesday, this is a director, right? So, you know, gender health program, Minnesota Children's Hospital. Okay, listen to this.
So let's start with how kids understand gender identity. Well, from the age of about 2, kids can understand gender differences. Now, this is mostly based on physical characteristics and anatomy as they sort and put people into categories, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, Kids at two are actually very good at putting things into categories. It shouldn't surprise you then that some transgender kids are also claiming their identities as young as 3 and 4 years old. They know the categories. They know how they should feel inside based on their anatomy. And they also know that the way that they see themselves doesn't line up with other people's expectations.
That is a bunch of hogwash, hooey BS. 2, 3, and 4 year olds don't know anything. They still have accidents in their pants. They still have, pretend friends. That they should we acknowledge their pretend friends to the point where it's like, oh, maybe they're seeing ghosts. I don't know. But to say that, oh yeah, they already know at that is insane. And I like how she was like, okay, 2 years old is probably too young, but I could probably do four. Like I could get away with four and people buy that. But people are afraid to say anything. That to me is crazy. Now listen to her talk about, well, her kids.
From as young as some kids can talk, they're explaining to their parents the truth about their identities. When our kids were growing up, we tried to expand their gender categories just a little bit. So instead of saying to them, these are boy parts and these are girl parts, we taught them that most boys have penises and most girls have vaginas, just to leave open the possibility that biology isn't destiny and that how someone feels inside or their gender identity may not line up with expectations based on anatomy.
Oh my God. You don't think that they're pushing something at that house? You don't think there's that? Yeah, you're fooling yourself. That's abuse. I'm sorry. And their kids are going to grow up going, what? Wait, what? What are you telling me? What's this crap you're telling me? You're supposed to be my parent. You're not supposed to be push me into insanity. You're not supposed to you think that if you're so certain, 100%, that you believe that you know at a certain age, oh, I'm in a different body, then why would you have to leave it open and talk about all of these things? Because they're for certain to know, right? Insane. It is. I'm sorry. It's crazy. And it's catching. It is. Sorry.
But I think most of what they're trying to describe is actually just personality. Yeah. And now we have this situation where, you know, you could have a person who has 5 different genders and 6 sexual orientations, but no personality, because their personality has been subsumed by all of these labels. They've categorized and labeled and everything, and it's really strange. And so now we have to participate in your fetish. Like, you get off on the idea of being seen as a woman, and I have to be a participant in that. We're all being forced into this.
Yeah. You have to participate or else. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. You have to participate or you're going to be in trouble. You have to participate or you're going to what? Well, you're going to have to go to, you know, human resources. You're going to have to take a program. You're going to have to do any of those things. You know, Jordan Peterson and Rogan talked about this with Matt Walsh and a couple others. He says, when I first had him on, right? So you got this great thinker, this Canadian. He was the first one to kind of challenge it up in Canada. And remember, they took him to court. They were going to do all these things. And he said, you guys have no idea what's going on in the colleges, and this is going to seep into all aspects of life in the West. And it has. And it has. Yesterday, we were talking about, you know, there's, AOC, and she's worried about, oh, people are upset because your she, her pronouns aren't on your thing. It is it's kind of the goofy, wacky, like Avengers, having your pronouns and all of these things and your 1,200 genders and all of this stuff, all the while you're a girl and you still only like guys. But if you could put yourself in a special victim class, right, over here, oh my goodness me. I mean, we might as well walk around and go, yeah, I'm totally gay, but I only date chicks. It's like, what? Yeah. But, it's okay because, you know, he likes a rainbow flag. I mean, that's the. But if you could put yourself in a special protected class, and Matt Walsh is right, it becomes your personality.
You're giving them an opportunity to be special and to get special treatment without any special act. They haven't done anything that warrants that unique behavior.
A lot of this is just standard narcissism.
Yes.
Especially you listen to these, you know, why is this so common among celebrities now? All the celebrities have trans kids and they're coming out as non-binary and whatever else. And then you listen to them, like Demi Lovato or whoever, and you listen to them explain why they're they them. It's always, well, I don't identify with these labels. I'm beyond that. I'm above that. It's like these labels were good enough for billions of humans before you, but it's not good enough for you. But you're so special that we need to change the rules of the English language for you specifically. It's incredibly egotistical.
100%. You know, it's like, and I keep joking around, man. Parents are like, oh, God, man, our kid could go to Harvard, but if they're trans, that's also good, too, because that's going to look great on the Instagram. Oh, my God. How did we get here? How did we get here? Because we allowed infant young people to be overrun and indoctrinated in schools slowly but surely. And by the time everybody realized what was going on, it's too late because you're already in human resources and you're in trouble. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Love hearing from all of you. A little wokeness for you. MyPillow right now is going to help you stay dry. That's right. 6-piece towel set, cotton grown in the USA, 60-day money back guarantee. And I'll tell you more about that. Tons of colors, but you're going to get 2 big towels, you get 2 hand towels, and you're going to get 2 washcloths. So you're going to get a 6-piece towel set, tons of colors and styles. The 60-day money back guarantee is going to be extended to March 1st, 2023. If you buy before Christmas, now's your chance to take advantage of amazing deals across the board with MyPillow, including the MyPillow, the mattress topper, and everything in between. But the 6-piece towel set, normally $90, yours right now, $40. Boom! And you get this by going to MyPillow.com/Benson. Use that code Benson to save big on all the products. We get the 6-piece towel set for $40. MyPillow.com/Benson. MyPillow.com/Benson. Chad Benson Show.
Me too. Hashtag immigration reforms. Hashtag help. I'm trapped in a hashtag factory and I can't get out. The Chad Benson Show.
I think this is the first half box. I mean, I think the minutes were fairly spread out. I think in the second half, we, you know, really spread the minutes out. But in terms of style of play, I can't change what we're going to do and take a step backward today. Like, we have to keep getting better. And that's why I talked about halftime. I said, I don't care about the score. I don't care who we're playing. It's about us being mature enough to be up 50 points right now and show up and play the right way in the second half. I can't walk in the locker room and say, let's hold the ball and worry about what the score is going to be. It's not beneficial to our group. And right now, my job is to build this team.
That's a coach of the Bryant Bulldogs. Okay, so they went to their first tournament last year. That's their coach, Jared Grasso. The reason I'm playing that is they played a game Monday night against the Division III team, 147-39. People are like, why did you run up the score? Why did you do any of those things? He's like, I didn't do anything. We came out and played. We played hard. Right? That's what we came out to do. We came out, we played hard. We you know, I spread out the minutes, meaning he put everybody out there, right? You're the ball boy, right? You're the guy that, you know, picks up the uniforms and washes them and then, you know, films the games and goes over. You got a shot to play. I had a discussion with somebody yesterday, you know, trying to get off the craziness and chaos of, and we were talking about this. And, you know, earlier this week, there was a IMG Academy, which is if you guys know what IMG Academy is, it's if you're a special athlete, you can go to the IMG Academy. So it's out in Florida, and it used to be really only, I think it was tennis and soccer. Now it's everything. And there was a team that, you know, IMG Academy played last week. They called the game at halftime. They were up like 106-0. It was football. And those guys should not have been there. Right? That was like a fake charter school. Another one of those ones where it's a fake charter school playing a game they should never be in because they're going to get some money to be on ESPN or something. This was a D3 basketball. I've been on both sides of this. Absolutely. I've been on both sides. And let me tell you, I don't want you to stop playing hard because it's not going to make me better. It's not. And yes, there are things that you can do to slow the game down, things that you could work on in the game. But it's also a disservice if you stop trying altogether. And in a time when everybody gets a trophy, people are mad at this guy. It's like, no. Put those guys on top. So like, it sucks. It's embarrassing. But that's on us. We knew we were going to get our asses kicked. We're D3. They're D1. They played in the tournament. They're going to play Kentucky and stuff. This was like our Super Bowl. It's what happens. But if you stop playing, that's embarrassing. Even more so. They're like, they're not even trying now. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, tweet, text. Love hearing from all of you on this day after Election Tuesday, which is Lawsuit Wednesday. It's the nickname. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
The tsunami warning was just that. It was a warning. You ever see those when there's an earthquake? There's like, there's an earthquake 23 miles off the coast of such and such, and it's very deep in the ocean. There's a tsunami warning. And then they ring the, and everybody gets ready, and then nothing happens. That's what happened yesterday. The red wave. Was it not a heavy flow? That's what we're trying to say. It wasn't. Trickle at best. Now, doesn't mean you can't get over the line with the things you want, meaning you could win still. But how can we win? Well, they're still counting votes. You're probably going to win the House. It's not a, it's about 90% that you're going to win the House. But truly, the Senate's still up for grabs. Masters is trying to make it a race out here. Right, you got Laxalt in Nevada. You're going to have a runoff probably with Herschel Walker. So there's still a chance you get 51 when it comes to the Senate. So even if you got one more in the House and one more in the Senate, it's a win. But it's not what you thought was coming. It's not the tsunami. It's not a mandate to go out there and do the things you wanted to do. In fact, it's perplexing for a lot of people. Let me tell you who won last night. Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis has been, he's not MAGA. He's not. He's populist, common sense, much more conservative. Marco Rubio won. Yeah. Who lost? A lot of the MAGA clients. Yeah, but there's a lot of them that won too. Yes, but I always say this. The big ones, the ones you think about, the ones you see, those ones. You endorsing somebody who is going to win something easily is not really a risk. That's true. That's kind of true. There was no red wave. Yeah. So there just wasn't. Pennsylvania, Oz. Herschel Walker is going to go into a runoff. We'll see. Blake Masters still down. Kerry Lake still down. That's a big, you know, that's a big one. Even though that doesn't have national implications, it's still one a lot of people are looking at. Here's the lady who's running for governor who's got zero political experience, but she was a huge name in Arizona, and she was super left at one time. Now she's very MAGA. Oh, wow. There just wasn't the wave that I think a lot of people thought. Right? Tudor Dixon. A lot of people thought, oh, she's gonna challenge Gretchen Whitmer. No, she lost by 8. Again, tough beating an incumbent, but she lost by 8. Oz, you know, J.D. Vance won. Yeah, J.D. Vance won. That's absolutely true. Good for J.D. Vance. But even then, when Trump endorsed him, it wasn't, you know, he made fun of him. You know, like, you know, somebody saw the front page of Drudge one day. He's like, J.D. Vance, you know, is humiliated by Trump. So, but DeSantis last night showed why a lot of people who have big PACs, huge money, are saying, that's the guy right there. That's the guy. He's got all of the star quality with a lot of the fight, but none of the chaos. Now, the media will always bring chaos. Let's be real. Remember, DeSantis flies those, you know, the Venezuelans to Martha's Vineyard, and he's enemy number one, and it's chaos and craziness. It's all over the place because they realize he's the next thing. And so there's going to be that. But he didn't take the bait like so many, you know, like of Trump acolytes would. So there you are. The other thing that won was controversy. There was so much controversy when you thought, well, God, if we could just get through one of these things. But Arizona decided to be Arizona, and it became a mess.
So what happens is we have two tabulators. One of the tabulators is not working, okay? The other tabulator is taking about 75% successful. So 25% of them are being misread.
The idea that they ran out of paper, that's a, as we like to say, that's a them problem, perhaps.
Oh, you said the Republican side is not winning?
They're not letting you vote. You have to go to a different spot.
I don't have staff, so we are closed right now.
So for the Democrat, I can vote Democrat?
You can vote Democrat.
But not Republican.
Kind of shock. How is that something that can happen on election day? Yeah.
No, nothing's working in the last half hour. Nothing.
I was told to put it in an orange bag on the floor, and the orange bag looked to me like a Target bag or something. So that concerned me.
So I put my ballot in, but so it didn't, it got misread, but then what was happening?
So no machines at this center are working at all. Okay.
But the good thing is we do, first of all, we're trying to fix this problem as quickly as possible.
And none of the machines are voting, are working, and they are telling us that we have to leave. And so this is now happening here at this voting station also.
So it's just turning out to be a big mess.
No one's trying to deceive anyone.
Of course not. Not on election day. That would never happen, right? No, it would never happen.
Of all the places in the country you couldn't screw up, this was it. Top of the ticket here, Arizona, Carrie Lake. People look at her as a solid MAGA. She is going to be the you know, if Trump does run, which we're expecting he's going to, because I have a feeling he's going to announce, I have to, because obviously I got to take this country back and he'll do his thing, that she may be it, right? Everybody says she's Trump, but she's not Trump in a dress. And unlike Trump, where Trump understands social media and how to resonate with people, so does she, but she understands media, having been an anchor. For all the places, though, who has pushed the conspiracy, you know, the big lie, the 2,000 mules, and, you know, look, I'm fine. Let's go look at everything. Let's dissect. Let's redissect. Let's go. But you've got to have proof. You can't just say, I know it happened. That doesn't count as proof. You couldn't have a failure here, and it started out yesterday as a crap show in the morning, and it spread. And by the time everything was said and done, 27% of the polling place. So you go in there, they, first of all, it started bad by one of the workers coming out and saying, oh, it's misreading ballots. Well, it wasn't even reading ballots was the issue. But it caused delays, frustration, it spread. Conspiracy won and continues to do so in this. And people have questions. Absolutely. You should have questions. 100%. You should have questions. After that nightmare, you should have a lot of questions because it became a nightmare because it being the voting process was screwed up again. And even if it was nothing at all, at a time when optics matter so much and having a strong, healthy republic that we need, people don't feel comfortable. And you gave everybody the opportunity to continue to say it was stolen. I talked to Stephen Richard, who was heads up pretty much everything here in Maricopa County yesterday on my local show.
Did you think at any time between then, are you sure you don't want to double check, triple check, maybe a couple days before just to make sure that everything is just as solid as can be, kind of like when they're going to take off on an airplane? We're cross-checking, triple-checking, quadruple-checking.
Well, I think that certainly sounds prudent in hindsight. I don't think I'm going to dispute that this is not a good situation. And, if the county could go over and do it again, I think that there would be one more check.
Yeah, one more check. Because they checked it a month ago and they didn't check it again. How do you do that? Frustration. Absolutely. So what do we get out of all of this? Nothing yet. Across the country, four big races still are out there that have yet to be decided and may not be I think two are going to end up at runoffs, but at least one is going to, and that is Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. When it comes to a lot of the other races, we're going to get over the line if you're a Republican, you're saying, but we made it more difficult than it should have been. And I've been saying that for a while. And now, if you're sitting back and you're part of the GOP mind group, right? The big think tank, and you're Monday morning quarterbacking the day after, and you still have to wait for some stuff. But even if you win and you get 51 in the Senate, you're not getting a massive amount of congressional seats. You're going to get over the line. What happened? What was it with our messaging? Those are questions you have to ask yourself. Was it the candidates? And I think in a lot of cases, it was the candidates. It was absolutely the candidates. 100%. Do I think the Democrats did a great job? Well, they might have done some jobs scaring people. But was it the candidates themselves in a lot of places that made it tough? Yeah. How many of you voted for somebody and you're really voting for the red side of the aisle or the blue side of the aisle, but you said to yourself, God, if so-and-so would have won the primary, they would have easily won the general. Oh, yeah. I think that's a big thing. I think a lot of people are looking around. They're going, yeah. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Your Twitter. We'll get deeper into this a little bit later. We got some woke stuff as well. A little what's trending coming up. Rough Greens, RUFFGreens.com/Chad. Go to Rough Greens right now. Get a free bag of Rough Greens from my buddy, Dr. Dennis Black. He's a former Green Beret. Guy was decorated in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot. He has survived cancer. He became a naturopathic doctor over a quarter of a century ago. And one of the things he focused on, not just on the human side of it, was canine. How do I make dogs healthier? And he formulated Canine VitaSmart. It's got vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 369. And it's a supplement, easy to use. Spread it on top of your dog's food. Don't do anything else. Watch what happens. Right now, he wants to send it to you. You've heard me talk about how much I love it for my dogs. You're going to love it for your dogs. It has helped my older dog be healthier and happier than ever before. Try a bag for free. All he asks you to do is cover the cost of shipping. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. Get a free bag right now. Cover the cost of shipping. It's on its way to you. RoughGreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
Give me a bowl of chili with plenty of peppers.
One Mexican heartburn. Why don't you mugs grow up?
The Chad Benson Show, where independent, a la carte thinkers have a seat at the table and a voice in the dialogue.
I'll have what she's having.
This is Chad Benson.
Now it's time to find out
what's trending.
What's trending?
Einstein, James Dean, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan.
Norway, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Russia, Suriname.
Leonette, Brassnap, Lenny, pushing Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom.
What's trending? Oh, yeah, baby. It's funny what's trending, baby, on the big old trendy things. Fetterman yesterday, trending. Georgia elections, Herschel Walker, Kerry Lake, Texas elections. 2 million, 2 million, tons of it. J.D. Vance, Lauren Boebert, re-election, too close to call. She's behind. Ron DeSantis. FTX, crypto markets, tumbled to its low. So the big crypto guy, right? Like the guy that's just super crypto guy. He, yesterday, was worth $16 billion. As of today, he's worth $900 million. Ouch. That hurts. Yeah, that does hurt. Jeff Cook is trending. He of Alabama fame, the one of the founders of the band Alabama, passed away yesterday of Parkinson's disease. I loved Alabama. That's one of those country bands that's like, man, I love me some Alabama. It's just good to see, though. The only thing trending yesterday that of big trends on Google that wasn't election-oriented was the crypto. Everything else was election-oriented. Head on over to Twitter, where everybody's fighting. Fetterman, number one trending thing today. DeSantis, number two. Gen Z, I got our first, what, millennials that were elected to Congress. Yeah, yeah. Lauren Boebert again. Brittany Griner, the WNBA superstar, is now being transferred, I think, to a penal colony today as the Russians continue to play that game. And she'll get out eventually, but when they want her to get out. She won't serve those 9 years, but it's going to be a while, I think. And by a while, I mean a few weeks or months, probably a few months. Red wave, Trumpism, also trending today. Hump day! Get you over that hump. And Latinos, not Latinx, by the way. What was that thing that came out last week that they did one of those polls like, oh, what do you guys like to be called? And less than 1% said Latinx. And the white media is like, okay, we'll call you Latinx. Because we listen really good. What do? And Powerball. Powerball, baby. Power to the ball. Did you win? You did not. But there's some advice if you were the person that is listening, because the person that did win was in the area of one of my stations, so they could be listening.
We actually advise our big winners to take a little bit of time to get your affairs in order, maybe hire a lawyer, a financial advisor. As you can imagine, this is life-changing money.
Yeah, it is. So it's life-changing money for sure. And again, be smart with it. Give it all to me. It's probably put it all in crypto because it's going so well for that other guy. Although I'm joking. He still has $900 million. I don't have $900 million. I'll take that every day of the week. But if you're coming from zero and you're going to $900 million, you're stoked. If you're coming from $16 billion and you're going to $900 million, you're not stoked. Just throw that out there. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Now you know it's trending. Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, is going to join us. We're going to talk about all of the other races that I couldn't keep track of because there's so many. And what the hell happened? Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
The big winner yesterday, and I continue to say this, is Ron DeSantis. The big loser yesterday was the GOP across the board. They didn't do any of the things that a lot of people thought they were going to do. They thought this was going to be the red wave, the tsunami. Oh, my goodness. And it was a trickle at best. Still undecided, though, right? Because there could be some things that take place. But definitely a disappointment. Joining us now is Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute Public Policy Research. Jim, you've been watching all the races. I can only watch so many, but you, thank God, are there for us. So let's talk about how disappointed do you think the Republicans are at this moment in time with all that you've seen and all that people were saying, yet at the end of the day, it sucked.
A very high level of disappointment. I would say probably about 9 on a 9 on a 1 to 10 scale. This was not what was expected. Now again, you know, projections have been pretty hit and miss over the last, 8-10 years. So if you got a little bit tied up in the predictions, then you probably are very disappointed. One of the things that I'm kind of curious of, and I have to wait till the final numbers come out for a lot of the stuff, is I thought I'd start thinking about this middle of the day yesterday, was what happens if too many Republicans think that, oh, this is a wrap. You know, we got this. I don't need to vote. My vote's not going to matter because this is going to be a landslide anyway. I'm just going to be piling on. So it doesn't really matter. So I want to see when all the numbers come out, if that's going to contribute to some of it. But yeah, very, very high disappointment level amongst those that are on the Republican ilk this morning. I would be hiding all the sharp objects in the kitchen this morning for sure.
So I look around and I said, big win for DeSantis. DeSantis is not a never Trumper. He's also not a MAGA person. And he and Trump are kind of going at it. But the reality is he won Miami-Dade, first time since low energy Jeb won it in 2002 that a Republican has won. Marco Rubio's the same thing. That's what a lot of people are saying. Those are the faces right now of this. The extremism, the populism of Trump, this isn't the long term for this party. What do you say to those people?
I would say DeSantis is the rising star of the Republicans. He is definitely the man of the night. He turned a 30,000 vote victory in 2018 into a 1.5 million vote victory in Florida. He is probably one of the most single-handed reasons why Florida has gone from being a pretty purple state to a pretty solid red state now. I would say he won Hispanics by over 8%. In a night when the Republicans basically got 40% best case in most elections with Hispanics. So yeah, I would definitely say he's a star rising, and it'll be interesting because I would think at this point, he's got no choice but to run for president with this wave that he's riding. Definitely, whether there's a showdown with Trump coming or not, that's to be determined. That's going to be up to Trump. But I would definitely say that DeSantis would probably be the best person Republicans could nominate right now for the presidency based upon what we saw last night.
Talking to Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We'll get back to Trump and DeSantis in a little bit. Let's take a look at some of the four outstanding ones that are still out there. Masters, here in Arizona, the more that drops, he gets a little closer. Is it going to be enough? I don't know. I think the Republicans weren't really counting on it. But the other three are still a toss-up for the Senate. One is probably going to be a runoff. But Nevada, man, what is going on there?
Nevada's a mess. Couple of reasons. One, if you followed actually the weather, it rained pretty heavily up and down the state of California, which may not mean anything. But as that storm pushed into Nevada, Washoe County, which is Reno, closed their elections office. And there's a ton of uncounted ballots that are there and mail-in ballots that they were expecting to have counted that normally they would have been counted by last night. They're going to go back today or tomorrow and start counting those. And that's a traditionally Republican area up there. So those are Republican ballots that are kind of sitting there waiting to be counted. And then, of course, you've got Clark County down in Las Vegas, which is the majority of the population in Nevada these days. And that's an area that tends to break about 2-1 for the Democrats. But you've got a lot of union influence down there, and especially Hispanics in the unions, in the culinary workers and all of the different hotel unions down there. So how that's going to break is you don't know. That really is one of the areas I don't want to throw FUD out there, but that is one of the areas where you've got to question a lot of the behind the scenes action that goes on possibly in Clark County. It's becoming, remember that was the home of Harry Reid, and whatever's left of the Reid machine in Nevada, Southern Nevada politics for the Democrats is still trying to hold on to it. And what they can pull out of that, I don't know how many votes will be able to pull out of that for the Democrats, but that's going to go down to the wire. It might even involve a recount possibly depending on how close it comes at the end.
Okay, let's look to Georgia because there's going to be a recount. unless something crazy happens in the next, 24 hours or so, it's probably going to be a recount. Neither of them going to go over 50 plus one. I don't. Do we really need, first of all, I think we can all ask the question. Do we need another month of Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock? I don't think we do, but we're going to get it. How do you, like, we voted a month ago. Like, what's going to change in a month is, I think, what a lot of people think.
Well, one of them's going to change is he will not have Brian Kemp on the ballot to drag whatever votes that Walker would have gotten that he wouldn't have gotten otherwise. Unfortunately, yeah, we are going to have a runoff unless something really weird happens down there. There's lots of votes, again, still sitting in Democrat areas, but I don't know if they're that Democratic enough to get Warnock over the 50% number. I would, if I was going to put money on it, I would be putting money on it. We're going to be talking about this again in the first weekend of December, I believe, is when the runoff will be. What will change is, I don't know, anywhere between probably 25 to 50, maybe $100 million worth of money will be thrown into the state. Every campaign, but both parties will throw every resource they've got into this. It'll be like it was in 2020. With the runoff, you won't have Donald Trump hopefully saying stupid things about, oh, the vote was rigged. Don't go out and vote in December because, he won the first time. He doesn't need to win again. Type of stupidity hopefully won't happen. But yeah, it's going to basically be the focus of the country, and whether it's going to be this time, if it's going to be for Republican control of the Senate or if it's going to be for Republicans simply to keep their 50-50 tie will still be determined based upon Nevada and Arizona turnout. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of money being thrown into one state again. Unfortunately, without Kemp on the ballot to drag Walker across, I don't see how he doesn't stick his foot in his mouth again and blow this somehow. Warnock is not exactly a strong candidate, but candidate choice does matter, and Walker, God bless the guy, is probably not the best candidate to be a senator from the state of Georgia.
Talking to Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, as we look at all this stuff, the House is going to go to the Republicans barely. There's an outside chance the Dems could still control it, but the thought of, 25, none of that materialized. I mean, there was nothing. It was a mirage.
No, it was. And it did not. Yeah, I was looking at the Dems getting maybe 190 seats. They've already got 181 with a whole ton of seats still out there. They may very well crack 200. The Republicans, yeah, will probably have a majority, but it will not be the, like you talked about, the numbers that they were looking at. One bright side for the Republicans last night was the DCCC chair, the Democratic campaign, Congressional Campaign Committee, Maloney in New York 17. It looks like he's going to go down in defeat. He'll be the first sitting chair of the DCCC to lose in about 40 years. So at least Republicans can take that as a minor scalp they took for the night. But overall, it's been ugly. It hasn't been the red wave. As you talked about, Boebert still fighting for her political career in Colorado this morning. And it just hasn't been. There haven't been the flips that they thought. And California right now, there's at least a net three pickup for the Democrats. It could be net four, depending on what happens, because there's a lot of close races. And it'll take a long time to sort out all the races in California.
All right. So now the elephant in the room on two sides. At first, what happened? Is this bad candidates more than messaging? Because I feel like it's a lot of bad candidates at this point in time that, many people I talk to, if so-and-so would have got through the primary, they would have easily won the general. But the base, the hardcore base, came out and picked this person and we're stuck with them. I mean, I just feel bad candidates everywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Candidates matter. You can't discount the fear factor, too, and from the left. Especially on young female voters that came out because of the fear of abortion going away. I would say that played a pretty serious factor, I think, in the Michigan race with Whitmer being reelected, because there was an abortion amendment on the ballot in Michigan that probably brought a lot more young female voters out than would have come out for this race normally. But yeah, I don't think the Republicans' messaging was bad. It was, it's about the economy, stupid. And I think that resonated, but it didn't overcome fear for some people. And candidate choice absolutely matters. It always does. It's kind of a fundamental of politics. And there was not a lot of great candidate choice, especially on the Senate side. Now, Vance, won fairly easily in Ohio. But if you look at the numbers that DeWine pulled in the gubernatorial race there, he outperformed. Vance underperformed by about 8 or 9 points. So even though he won going away, he should have been on that night in Ohio last night. He should have been a much stronger candidate. So unfortunately the Trump candidates, which we'll probably still talk about, did not perform anywhere near where they should have. And that's what's cost the Republicans in the Senate more than likely.
So let's talk about Trump. Probably going to announce next week. He didn't do well last night, and everybody's like, well, he won a lot of races. Yeah, but a lot of the stuff that he picked or he endorsed, those people were going to win regardless of whether he endorsed them or not. They were going to win because they're in areas that are gerrymandered in such a way that that they're going to win when they're redistricting. So it's kind of like what Pelosi said, right? I can run a glass of water in AOC's district, and as long as it's got a D by its name, it's going to win. But the ones he truly backed, they had issues last night. Him running against DeSantis is, because I feel that his goal is, if I can't win, nobody's going to win, and I'll destroy this guy, and we'll just hand it over to the Democrats.
Yeah, it's basically Trump, or Trump's going to burn it down, one of the two. Yeah, I would like to hope that Donald Trump at some point has some self-reflection. He will be close to 80 by the time the 2024 election comes around. We all mock Joe Biden for his age. Well, Trump is seems to be a lot more, has better mental capabilities than Biden does. It still is a number, and you still be close to 80. I would hope that somebody comes around. Maybe it's his daughter that goes up to him and says, Donald, it's time to put the mantle down and hand it over to DeSantis or someone else in the Republican Party. We didn't do well. We might've cost the Republicans the Senate. I know you're a raging narcissist, but it can't always be about you. It's got to be more about the country at some point in the party. And especially if you truly want to save the country from the Democrats, you got to find a better candidate, and you're not the better candidate right now. It could be DeSantis. It could be somebody else that we don't know yet about, because generally the people that are the favorites 2 years out don't tend to become the nominee, because I'll guarantee you the day that Donald Trump walked down the elevator in 2015 to announce, he was nowhere near the top candidate for the presidency in 2016, and yet he won it. So it's going to be, hopefully he's got some self-reflection. It's Trump. I don't really know if that's capability. That's a skill set he has. But it did not turn out well for him last night. His candidates did not do well. Even if Masters wins in Arizona, it's still not going to be a good night for Trump-picked candidates. And the fact that he picked the correct dog, the correct dog catcher in Cuyahoga County or something, doesn't really matter on the national scale. It was a bad night for the Republicans. And poor candidates, as we said, is probably the reason why Trump needs to stand down on this one.
Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Love having you on, my man. And I'm sure we'll get you on here sooner rather than later when we talk about the roundup of all of these things in 12 months when we finally find out who won something.
Exactly.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks.
At Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can follow Jim at Righty Jim on the old Twitter and everywhere else. All right, let's get serious. We'll talk some fun stuff here in a minute. It's time to take a deep breath. We talk a lot about this stuff, because we have. But we can talk other things, right? Other things going on in the world. Maybe we'll do some woke stuff, some other stuff. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Deep states? No. Deep doo-doo? Yeah. The Chad Benson Show.
When I have children, they have a biological sex based on their body. I will not assign them a gender. They will learn and experience things that society says are only for certain genders. When they fully understand the idea of gender, different genders, how they feel about gender, then feel free, go off, go all out, balls to the wall, assign yourself a gender or don't, I don't care. But we cannot sit here and say there are only two genders in this country because that's what the model has been.
Yeah, we can, because that's the reality of it. Two genders. Now, you can identify, if you want to say you're a waffle, go ahead, right? If you want to say you're a waffle, knock yourself out. But there's still only two genders, right? It's like, I'm not going to look at an owl and say, that's not a bird. It's not a bird. That's a fish. That's an elephant. I mean, come on. I mean, this is insanity. This is what insanity looks like. There's hysteria of stupidity that is it's a pandemic of stupidity that is just permeating our culture, and we're allowing it. We're cheering it on because we don't want to make somebody feel bad. Knock yourself out. If you think you want to be a waffle, go ahead. And if somebody eats you, well, that's on you. You know, we're talking earlier, and we'll do a little bit more later. And if you're missing the show, grab the podcast. You know, Matt Walsh was on with Rogan talking about this, got that great documentary, What is a Woman? And he was talking to a lady, and the lady's all, well, it's about their identity, and it's about their truth and reality. And he goes, okay, so it's about reality. Yeah, it's their reality. So he goes, in my reality, if you don't exist, she goes, well, then I don't exist. Yeah, what? What? Good God, that's insane. How did we get here? I'll tell you what. We got here because we're just what we are. If you're listening to the show, grab the podcast. We've allowed this stuff to go on too long. Feel free, though. We were talking to Jim Kennedy. We were talking earlier about something I've been echoing for several months about Trump and his endorsements. And you can win a primary, but a primary is not what? A primary is not a general.
The big problem is that in every one of these races, where given the atmosphere, both inside these states and nationally, where Republicans should have picked up, they lost because we had inferior candidates. Mitch McConnell previewed this over the summer with his concerns about Senate candidates in particular. And almost every one of these Trump-endorsed candidates that you see in competitive states have lost.
Chris Christie. And he's right. And what he's going to say today is Oz was weak. I always knew he sucked. Right? He's going to come out and say that. If Masters loses, oh, I was only doing it because, you know, for so-and-so. And I was, and that's what he's going to say. And the thing is, what Chris Christie echoed there is, in competitive states, not going and saying, okay, this has only ever been a Republican stronghold, and it's still a Republican stronghold, and doesn't matter. I'm going to endorse this guy. Whoever gets out wins. He endorsed 300 people, but in real competitive races, could they get over the line? And I think the answer was no. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. If you missed any show, grab the podcast. Feel free to do that where good podcasts are available. You'll probably find mine lurking around down in the middle. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
What a night. What a night. What a night that will lead into today, that will lead into the coming days, weeks, and probably a month plus when it comes to the elections. Nothing is settled, but it was not a good night for the Republicans. A lot of people thought it was going to be a red wave. It was not a red wave at all. That being said, all hope is not lost. If you're a Republican, you got to have a smile on your face thinking, all right, you know what? Did not go the way we wanted. Oz lost. Looks like Kelly's going to beat Masters in Arizona. Okay. But you've got still hope in Nevada. And oddly enough, you're going to have some hope still in Georgia. So there's that. But the House did not do what you wanted to do. That is definitely an honest thing to say. And then people are questioning, you know, the MAGA thing. You know, we heard Mitch McConnell come out and say it like 6-8 weeks ago. Bad candidates. Is that true? That's for people to decide. I've said this here in Arizona. Carrie Lake is we don't know what's going to happen. They're going to have another big drop later on tonight. There'll be stuff, you know, throughout the day, smaller counties reporting a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's going to court, especially after yesterday's debacle, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But when push came to shove, did they get what they needed? Did they expand their tent? No, I don't think they did. I don't think they did at all. And when you look at two, to me, I point to two people, Marco Rubio and Ron DeSantis. Marco Rubio and Ron DeSantis. As Trump likes to call them, the sanctimonious, right? And little Marco. Well, they won big. They won big. That's interesting when you think about it. Because here are two guys that Trump is not a fan of, but oddly enough, keeps it kind of, you know, he said yesterday, I voted for, you know, DeSantis. But the reality is he won big. And a lot of people say that's the future. I've said this for a very long time when it comes to DeSantis and Trump. You get a vast majority of what you get with Trump in Ron DeSantis, and you don't get the chaos that comes with Trump. Big backers are throwing money at Ron DeSantis because they look at him as the future of the GOP. It's interesting if you stand back because we know what's coming in the next coming, you know, few days. Trump's going to say, I have to come in and save the day because you guys failed. And he's going to come out throughout the day. And the people that didn't win, you know, he's going to talk about Oz was always weak and he was always a loser. It's the same stuff. The reality is so many of these Trump-backed people struggled to win a general. And people are like, well, a lot of them he picked, they won. Yeah, but he picked them in places where you could have run. As remember when Nancy Pelosi was talking about AOC early in her reign as the congresswoman that she is? She said, you can run a glass of water and it's got a D by her name in her district and she's going to win. It's the same thing, the low-hanging fruit. But the stuff that got serious, that's a different story. Masters, not doing well. Not doing well. And let me tell you something. I've met Blake on several occasions. He's come in for my local show. He's interviewed. I think he's a bright guy. I think he's a good guy. I think he got stuck in a position where he felt he had to get the nomination, be more radical in a lot of stuff that wasn't him. And I don't think it paid off for him. I don't. Oz, like I said, does he move the needle for anybody? No. But man, Trump pushed the hell out of him at times. J.D. Vance, he won, but it wasn't like he's a Trump-backed person, but Trump the other night embarrassed him. This is the battle, the next battle that's going to go on between now and probably till we get somebody who's going to be the true, you know, King Kong versus Goliath and gets out of that, you know, that shadow of one another, DeSantis and Trump. This is the battle that's going to go on. This is the battle. I still think the Republicans, when all is said and done, and again, there's going to be lawsuits. There is going to be some recounts. We're going to have a runoff or two. There's going to be some stuff. But all that being said and done, you got to stand back and say the next big battle is going to be between Trump and DeSantis. And where do not only the voters go? Because this is something else to take in. How do you court the voters if you're a Republican? And, you know, and that's, I think, Glenn Youngkin, when he in the special election and he became governor of Virginia, what I think he did that was so right. He kept Trump at an arm's length without really ostracizing his voters. And that's going to be a tough thing because I've always looked at Trump like this. He's the kind of guy where I love a lot of what he did. I think he had some really good ideas. I think the other thing, so much of what he did was self-inflicted. I think Biden didn't win, but I think Biden is president. I think Trump lost. Because I think people were just over the chaos. You know, my uncle and I talk about this all the time because, you know, he's my best friend. He's my business partner. He loves a lot of what Trump is about. And he is, you know, he's still very suspicious about 2020, all of those things. But he's readily admitted, you know, it's while it's entertainment. And it's good that he pushes back in a lot of this stuff. So much of it was unnecessary in the fights that he got into. That's why I look at DeSantis and say that's the future. The billionaires and the huge PACs are lining up and they're choosing. And right now they're all choosing more DeSantis than anybody else. Because I think they look and they go, that guy's the future. First of all, here's something else. He's much like Ted Cruz when it comes to politics and history and understanding of so much of the political world. He is brilliant. At the same time, he's not as ostracizing as Ted Cruz, because Ted can be ostracized. Let's be real. There's a smarminess about Ted, and you know, he's got that though without that, and that's the magic potion, the elixir that you could have. If I'm the Republicans and I'm waking up today, I'm not happy, and quite frankly, I would think to myself, geez. Be better if we just lost it all, regrouped, rebuilt, and came back. That would be a better thing for us than potentially, you know, us half-assing it for the next couple umpteen, you know, months. And it's so that's where we're going. That's the next battle. Yes, there's still going to be a Senate battle, and the Republicans can still come out of this, you know, somewhat in control of the House, not by a lot, and control of the Senate. But, you know, I talked to a few pretty high up Republicans late last night, and they were laughing, and they said, you know, I feel like this has to happen, like this has got to come to a head where they crash into each other. And the MAGA and the GOP have that battle and go from there. We'll see. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Oh, so much stuff still to get to. And again, so many of these races that you're, you know, that they're going to be talking about for the next several hours, days, and potentially weeks. These things aren't going anywhere. Somebody can declare a victory all they want or come out and say it looks like, but you know, in some of these places, the, you know, Arizona being one of them, there's going to be challenges after yesterday's absolute debacle. And it was a debacle. When the printers didn't line up, things didn't seem to work. There was 6-8 hours of hot mess of what took place. This is not something that you can have at a time where people already don't trust the system. We'll get deeper into it a little bit later. We got some woke stuff coming up as well. It is that Wednesday portion of the program. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, your Instagram. Slept here last night. Did get to hang out with my dog Doodle, which I love. But you know what's funny is I was reading the other day, you know, just, you know, petting your dog, and it can bring your heart rate down. What Doodle does for me and my other dogs drive me crazy, I'll be honest. Bowie is Charlie's dog. If he was 300 pounds, you could never yell at Charlie. That dog would, if somebody came in the house, that dog would figure out a way to get ginormous and fight. But they drive me crazy, but they're younger. But Doodle's still, he's my boy. And I love the fact that he's still here, and he's bouncy, and he's crazy. And it's all because of Canine VitaSmart from Rough Greens. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 369. You hear me talk about it all the time. But when it comes to even bigger dogs, I give it to my mom for her dog. She's got three giant dogs. The family does. The smallest dog, I'll point to, is the St. Bernard Luna. She is the smallest of the dogs. One of the things they had trouble with over the last couple of years is they've had allergies. Since they've taken Rough Greens, no allergies, no issues. Try it for yourself. Dr. Dennis Black's going to send you a bag for free. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad gets you a free bag of shipping. RoughGreens.com/Chad. At Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Facebook says, we're going to thin the herd a little bit. Talk a bit about that. And the nightmare that was Maricopa County yesterday and some woke stuff as well. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show. Massive layoffs could soon be coming to Facebook. According to The Wall Street Journal, Facebook's parent company, Meta, is preparing to notify employees of large-scale layoffs this week, possibly affecting thousands of employees. Meta shares have plummeted 73% this year as Mark Zuckerberg spends billions on virtual reality.
Yeah, he's, we were talking earlier, he's ahead of the game in a lot of things, and he bet big on virtual reality in the world. He's a decade plus ahead of where people are. They're just not there. They're not. I think their average daily users, as far as people that are actually living in the metaverse a lot, is like 36 people. He's spending billions of dollars. They're laying off 11,000 people because they went and spent big on this. And it just wasn't ready. It wasn't. And it's weird because they built a universe in a lot of ways of places that you can go inside the metaverse and you can have a hotel and you have people were buying property, but nobody was using it. Remember that guy, what he spent like $300,000 to have a property in the metaverse next to Snoop Dogg, but nobody is using it. So this was not unexpected. And, you know, a lot of these companies right now are facing a few things. First of all, they're facing the fact that when times were good, they overhired. And now that times are getting tougher, they're looking around going, OK, we need to thin the herd. Do we really need X amount of people here? It's a fair question. You know, when times are good, a lot of times people do overhire. And when times are bad, sometimes they overfire. But I think this was coming, and I think a lot of people knew it. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. The World Cup. I love it. I can't wait for it, except for the part where I don't like where it's being played.
Only 2 weeks before the opening of the soccer tournament in the Gulf state in a conservative country, the former Qatari national team player Khalid Salman told a German ZDF reporter that being gay is forbidden in Arabic, is a spiritual harm, and that he has a problem with children seeing gay people. Germany's interior minister condemned Salman's remarks. The German official says Qatar's prime minister gave her a safety guarantee for all fans, no matter who or what they are.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a second. Again, I love the World Cup. I will be setting my alarm extra early. I won't miss any of the games. It's not going to happen. I never do. It's my jam. That being said, they should never have gotten the World Cup. They bought it. Everybody knows it. Sepp Blatter, who used to run FIFA, the world's most corrupt organization outside of the Olympic organization in the UN, said, yeah, they should never have gotten it. It is, and mark my words, people, I'm telling you this now. There are people that are going to be Brittany Griner'd. There are people that are going to the World Cup who will not be coming back with their friends because they did something outside of what you would consider, you and I would consider something, you know, just going to, you know, we've got the next World Cup, right? So we're hosting the next World Cup, 2026. Mexico, Canada, and us will have the World Cup. They're going to be a party like you cannot believe. There's not going to be any worry about if you drank a little bit too much and you stepped out of a box where they allow you to hang out. Or if you're gay. You know, they're going to, you know, hey, take away the gay thing. You know, what people are focusing on that. They've already said, oh, if you think that you're going to hook up with some woman here or some man here, right? You're straight. And you're like, man, those Brazilian chicks are hot. If you think that's going to happen, that's also forbidden. And don't even get me started. We'll touch on it probably as we get closer to the absolute nightmare and the atrocities that have gone on with slave labor to build these stadiums that are absolutely beautiful and gorgeous. But depending on who you talk to, anywhere between 6,500 and 10,000 people have died while building these stadiums. It is absolutely atrocious what FIFA did to give them the World Cup. It is disgusting. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. We'll talk a little bit more about what happened yesterday. Where do people go from here when it comes to the elections? Who's going to control what? How long is this really going to take for us to figure some of these things out? Plus, we're also going to do a little wokeness. It is Wednesday. If I don't do some woke stuff, I might just go crazy, baby. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Somebody woke up yesterday, went about their business in the morning, and are now worth several hundred million dollars. That's kind of awesome. It wasn't me. I was pretty much expecting it to be me. So yeah, I guess we'll have to continue to play our weekly retirement plan. That's what I call it. Yeah, I know what you guys call it. But it is, it's awesome. It's awesome. So, when all is said and done, it's going to be $700+ million. One of the ladies who works for the Powerball and Lottery in California talked about, all right, take a deep breath.
We actually advise our big winners to take a little bit of time to get your affairs in order, maybe hire a lawyer, a financial advisor. As you can imagine, this is life-changing money.
Yeah, life-changing money. And it is, but it's also life-changing excitement and life-changing headaches. You know, go back to the questions. Who do you tell? I mean, you got your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad. Okay, there's that close-knit group, your brother, your sister kind of thing. But who else do you tell? For me, I want to get it over. Like, if I would have won yesterday, I would have been over at the lottery thing in the morning waiting. I want it out of my hands. I take it. I want it out of my hands. I don't want it to... I don't want to take a chance, right? I don't want to be the guy who got hit by the meteor the other day. Out of my hands, I'll call a lawyer on the way there. Hey, person, fella. And I've got lawyer friends. I'd like my buddy Barry, who's a big time lawyer here. I'd say, Barry, meet me here. You're going to have to help me with all this stuff, here because I'm in Arizona. You know, if it was California, it'd be a different thing. But that's what I would do. I'm just saying. But it's life changing, right? Like you woke up yesterday and maybe you had all the worries in the world and now you got a little different worries, which is, a little different worries. Plus, you don't even know, one ticket won, don't know who won the money.
Three tickets sold in California that matched five numbers, and we've actually had quite a few of those tickets matching five numbers over the past several weeks as this thing grows.
Yeah, so they got several winners in, $50, $100 million. That's life-changing, right? You may make a good living, but you win $1 million, a couple hundred grand, whatever, that's life-changing too. You're like, hey, I can pay off all my debt. Imagine today being debt-free. You know, I hear Dave Ramsey, but debt-free. Imagine today being absolutely debt-free. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Right? You're like, wait a minute. So yeah, I own my house outright. I've paid off all of my bills. I've got zero debt and I'm still earning an income, even if you earn $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is, and you're automatically kind of debt free. That means that if you make 20 grand one month, you're a big salesperson, you got a bonus check and everything. You're like, oh my God, it's all mine. I can do what I want with it. You make 5 grand. You don't have to worry about like I did. No, it's like, That's also life-changing. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Yesterday, Arizona nightmare malfunction.
So what happens is we have two tabulators. One of the tabulators is not working, okay? The other tabulator is taking about 75% successful. So 25% of them are being misread.
The idea that they ran out of paper, that's a, as we like to say, that's a them problem, perhaps.
So you said the Republican side is not what?
They're not letting you vote. You have to go to a different spot.
I don't have staff, so we are closed right now.
So for the Democrat, I can vote Democrat?
Then? You can vote Democrat.
But not Republican.
Kind of shock. How is that something that can happen on election day? Yeah.
No, nothing's working in the last half hour.
I was told to put it in an orange bag on the floor, and the orange bag looked to me like a Target bag or something. So that concerned me.
So I put my ballot in, but so it got misread, but then what was happening?
So no machines at this center are working at all. Okay.
But the good thing is we do, first of all, we're trying to fix this problem as quickly as possible.
And none of the machines are working, and they are telling us that we have to leave. And so this is now happening here at this voting station also.
So it's just turning out to be a big mess.
No one's trying to deceive anybody.
Of course not. Not on election day. That would never happen, right? No, that would never happen.
Anthony put that together. Yeah, it was a nightmare. I talked to a few people from Maricopa County yesterday, and Stephen Richter, who is the head guy, it wasn't his fault. There's no doubt he's going to pay the price for it. And it was a nightmare. And when, you know, we played some of his stuff throughout the day, we'll rehash it, but I will tell you this, you know, when Gatos and I, who is my on-air partner for my local show, when we interviewed him in the midst of all of this, so this is the guy who runs pretty much everything when it comes to this, you know, I said, it sounds like somebody killed his dog. I mean, he realizes what a giant F up this was, because of all the states that you can't have this happen in, this was the state. When the top of the ticket is Kerry Lake, who is the leader of 2020, was stolen. And the first thing out the gate is you had things aren't working, things aren't going well. That is not a win. And that's why this Senate race, even though she's outperforming her Republican colleague in Masters, these things are going to be days and days from being really, I think, sorted out. It might be weeks. There's going to be lawsuits. They filed lawsuits yesterday. They wanted to keep the polls open later because of the nightmare that was. But they were denied. But it is going to be close, and there's going to be lawsuits. There might be an automatic recount, but there's no doubt there's going to be lawsuits. And when we talk to a few listeners who went and voted yesterday, one lady, Robin, she didn't want to go on the air with us, but we were talking to her. She said, I went to show my friends who were election deniers how stupid they were. And it took me an hour and a half plus to figure out that I can't vote here, and I got to go over here, and I can't do this. And why don't you stick it in this box here that says box number 3? She goes, I left there and I thought to myself, I don't know if my vote's going to count. That is not a good thing. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. It is Wednesday. We love to get woke on Wednesdays. You know that. I know that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends of all ages, Woke Wednesday.
Buckle up, everybody. It's time to talk about my pronouns.
When babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or a girl. But sometimes the doctor is wrong.
She, it. Lucy is a girl.
Are you she, they pronouns?
They, them, they. Who are they? There was two of them?
Fun thing about me is yesterday I came out as trans for my whole family.
So let's go. Rock Frog's pronouns. That sounds so cool.
Let me introduce you to our non-binary alpaca.
I am non-binary, and I use they, them pronouns, and my students know this.
We just came up with new words that fit us better. It's fine.
What if I want to be called Sir Elton John?
It's time for Woke Wednesday.
You know, yesterday, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to a couple of people here, and somebody goes, Chad, is this real? This AOC, people are upset because her pronouns aren't on her Instagram. And I'm like, yeah, it's real. And they were like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are now. that's where we are in this world now. It's like, they're not there. They're, Oh, geez. But it is Woke Wednesday. We love to get woke on these most festive of days. Let's see here. Oh, where should we start? How about this? Director of the Gender Health Program, Minnesota Children's Hospital, talking about gender and toddlers.
So let's start with how kids understand gender identity. Well, from the age of about 2, kids can understand gender differences. Now, this is mostly based on physical characteristics and anatomy as they sort and put people into categories, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. Kids at 2 are actually very good at putting things into categories. It shouldn't surprise you then that some transgender kids are also claiming their identities as young as 3 and 4 years old. They know the categories. They know how they should feel inside based on their anatomy. And they also know that the way that they see themselves doesn't line up with other people's expectations.
That is a load of hogwash. Sorry. 3 and 4 year olds don't know anything. I have a 4-year-old. Right? I have a 4-year-old. I have a 12-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. And then I have 2 stepchildren that you know, they're mine. Right? No. I'm sorry. You know, my daughter Charlie, her imagination is so crazy awesome. She has 400 baby dolls. This week, her baby doll of choice is a step stool. And partly because for her, it looks like when we carry her around, it's big so she can kind of like position where she, and I'm thinking to myself, that's imagination. I mean, it's silly. But to say that, toddlers is, you know why she didn't say 2? Because she thought, oh, God, if I say 2 years old, people are going to say that's way too early. But I could probably get away with 3 or 4. The hell you can.
From as young as some kids can talk, they're explaining to their parents the truth about their identities. When our kids were growing up, we tried to expand their gender categories just a little bit. So instead of saying to them, these are boy parts and these are girl parts, we taught them that most boys have penises and most girls have vaginas, just to leave open the possibility that biology isn't destiny, and that how someone feels inside or their gender identity may not line up with expectations based on anatomy.
Yeah. That's insane. And you can't tell me that when you listen to that director of the Minnesota Children's Hospital, that you're not pushing your child in one direction or another. That is insane. It is insane. You know it. And I know it, and we all know it. And I'm going to tell you this. Yesterday, and we did a lot with it earlier, if you're missing the show, grab the podcast. But Matt Walsh was on with Joe Rogan. And, of course, he's got his documentary, What is a Woman? And it is – his interview is very real about so much of when he was going out there – and talking, you know, I think so many people on the left, they didn't want to watch it because they thought, well, he's evil and bad. And so they are like, well, I'll just ignore it and I'll just say it's bad. But when you watch it, he's not making fun of people. He's asking serious questions, not just here, but globally. Let's get a snapshot of everybody else. And it's very interesting. And you know what? You have to watch it if you really think all this stuff's true to get an idea that, hey, maybe, am I wrong? He was talking about one part where he goes, I'm talking to a lady about gender. And she said, you know, well, you know, they believe it and they identify with it and it's their truth and it's their reality. And he says to her, so that's their reality. So that's just it. What if I, in my reality, you don't exist? And the lady goes, well, then I don't exist. And you thought to yourself, wow, that's how delusional you are with this.
If you were one of those people that thought that there was a literal attack on the foundations of this country to try to destroy it from the youth up, what better way to do it than with social media reinforcing all this stuff? It's so strange to me how so many people on the left, people that I, before this, I generally respected their opinion, buy into it wholesale and will spout out things as if they're facts about how much this helps people and keeps people from killing themselves and helps kids. Like, but it's not true.
No, it's not. We're going to pick this up on the other side and wrap up the show. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet us, text the program. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, where we reach across the aisle and occasionally poke someone in the eye.
My kid was going to school with a girl who was a they-them. She decided she was a they-them. And she demanded that they talk in they-them way. Like, you had to use, when you were referring to her as a plural. This girl wore makeup, dressed like a girl, just decided that she was a they-them and would get angry if you misgendered her. And not calling her a plural.
What does that mean? So we have enough of a problem getting someone who identifies as a woman to tell us what a woman is. But
right. What's a they?
Yeah. What do you like? Describe to me the feelings of being a they.
Yeah. You know. So my local show, my on air partner, not life partner, but that'd be okay too. Gatos, he doesn't understand the woke thing, right? And I always joke. I mean, like he's the if you were to go, hey, what's white privilege? It's Gatos. But he is. He's a sweet guy. He's a great guy. And he and I chat all the time. He thinks he just doesn't get the woke. He's like, nobody cares about the woke stuff. And over the last couple of months, it's starting to chime into him. Well, wait a minute. Woke stuff is it's here. Okay. And he says to me yesterday, he goes, what the hell's a they? Like out of nowhere. He goes, they, them. What does that even mean? Like what is a they, them? Like how do I refer to you as a they? If you're a guy, don't I just call you by your name? If you're a girl, I just call you by your name. No, not anymore. Like you said, they demand these things. That was Matt Walsh with Joe Rogan there. And it's insanity. It's pure insanity, period, case closed, end of story.
But I think most of what they're trying to describe is actually just personality. Yeah. And now we have this situation where, you know, you could have a person who has five different genders and six sexual orientations, but no personality because their personality has been subsumed by all of these labels. They've categorized and labeled and everything, and it's really strange. And so now we have to participate in your fetish. Like you get off on the idea of being seen as a woman, and I have to be a participant in that if we're all being forced into this.
Yeah. And that's insane. And it's true. And you're being forced into as if not or else. But you know what it does? It makes you special. That's just it. It makes you special. It gives you something that otherwise you would just be ordinary. And you don't want to be ordinary. So by becoming somebody who can move into a victim class, that's a win for you. And now you've got a superpower. You're an Avenger, if you will. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. A little wokeness there as we wrap it up. Crazy last 24 hours, and it is going to be, I think, crazier for the next 72 plus hours. And this time next week, there will not be something. There will be probably two or three races next week that still will be in the balance that aren't Georgia, because Georgia looks like it's going to a runoff. But there's going to be lawsuits and a bunch of different things that are going to happen. And yesterday, somebody last night said, who was this bad for? And I said, well, first of all, the Republicans, there was no red wave. And as far as Trump, I'll be honest, he may have had the worst night, even though he wasn't on the ballot. He really did. A couple of his people that he really got behind, who pushed a lot of his stuff, got boat raced in a major, major way last night. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program, but not all of the hope is lost. The Republicans still have a chance for the Senate, and they, when all is said and done, I still think they're going to have the House. It's just not going to be what they thought it was, but whether you have it by 1 or 30, the control is still yours. So you got to look at it like that, right? Not a bad way to look at it. Try to keep the positive. and move forward. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, tweet, text. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We got you over the hump. As always, night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.